Brother Lonnie, Brother Rapp, Brother Chad had been down in the, with the meetings there in Hickory with Brother Barry and the saints there, the ministers. It was a meeting in which all the folks would be coming together to talk about the doctrines of the message. And so I'd asked Chad and Rapp, Brother Lonnie, if they'd come and then just convey to you what particularly touched them and blessed them. So Brother Lonnie is going to start off and do a little bit of the MC work, and then the brothers will take it from there. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
I greet you, saints, in the name of the Lord. Brother Barry and I chatted about this quite some time back, and he wondered if we in the message were ready for something like this, to dare to have a convention around doctrine, because that's always so controversial. One believes this and one believes that, but we figured, no, it's got to be. Sooner or later, we know that the bride of Christ will be one around the true doctrine. So Brother Barry titled the get-together "The Next Step." And so I think that's what it was. And so he was inviting either young ministers or asking pastors to send young men that he felt would be influential in his church, that would be the kind that are sharing the word with other people in the church, or good testifiers, or sliding into positions of leadership, so that they could get grounded in the the basic things. That's really what we aimed at, not the deeper things, the basic things of God. So Brother Paul LaFontaine took Friday night and just did a superb job. Paul always has an insight that I've never seen before, always, and I'm always so glad to hear him bring it. And then I had Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday night, Brother Tim Dodd from up in he's from Alberta, and he ministered on Saturday night, and then Jason Watkins took Sunday morning, and then Brother Tim Dodd took the second meeting then on Sunday again, and we pretty well poured the word to the people, and they had set up a tent outside to have lunch for everybody that was attending on between services on Saturday. And they had been having high 30s and 40 degree weather, and they were praying for, Lord, give us a break. And Saturday and Sunday it was about 64 degrees. It was just fantastic. It was wonderful weather. And so God really, really gave it a nice thing. And for Brother Barry and his church, he's relatively new pastor there. And the people have never had a pastor that gets them involved in other things. And they were just so happy to jump in behind their pastor in this project, and just delighted. And so he was delighted too. He says, I didn't have to do anything. All I did was guide. Well, how about this? I'll do it. How about that? I'll do it. And he was just delighted with everybody pitched in and did everything. So I wanted Chad and Rapp to share with them, like Jeff did, the highlights of what jumped out at them, because there could be so many points after so many sermons, and they were all good, that I wanted to share with them what jumped out at them, because I think you'll enjoy hearing that also. So I've asked Rapp to come first, and then Chad will come up right after him.
Well, God bless you all very, very much. We were very, very blessed to be able to go down to the men's meetings. Just had so many neat and wonderful things, and it's really, really hard to try to compress all the testimonies from them down into just about 20 minutes here or so, but we'll just try. Chad and I had a really, really good time driving down North Carolina together, just really wonderful fellowship. One of the things that blessed me up, Brother Paul LaFontaine's service, it was just titled, What is the Message? And Chad will share some more about that probably. But he especially talked about the principle of God in morphe, which in morphe just talks about how God appears in a form. And God has appeared in many different forms throughout the Bible, and how that's a really important and unique revelation to the message. And this became more and more important to me, that God always appears to man veiled in some kind of form. And that's why it's so important for us to press within the veil, because God isn't the veil. He's behind that. And it seems like every time that God does something, the temptation for man is going to be to stop right at the veil. That's what the children of Israel did with Moses. They were at that rod that they had to look at to receive healing, but later they made the rod basically God, and what had saved them was now judging them. So the form wasn't God, but God came in that form, and the challenge for them was to go in behind it, look past the stick, look past the wood, and see God past it. And our challenge is to look past human flesh, look past our brother and our sister, and to see God right there. And you can see without this revelation of how God manifests himself in the form, it's so very easy to miss what God is doing. When we confine God to just one form, we can see what God was yesterday, and we can rally around that. We can be excited about what God's going to do, but because we're missing God in the form right now, we're missing what he might be doing right now. So it's so important not to limit God, seeing how God is not bottled just in Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. He can be manifest. He is manifesting himself right now. So this truth makes God so very big, so very real. We can put ourselves into the picture. So in order to really experience a relationship with God, we have to move past that veil. And Brother Paul just kind of showed how Jesus emphasized this truth when Jesus appeared to Thomas. He said, "Here, Thomas, you can look at my hands. You can look at the gash here in my side. And you've seen, but blessed are they who don't see and yet believe." The point isn't the flesh of Jesus. The point is believing the word that Jesus taught. You can look in Luke chapter 24, rather, as they're walking along the road to Emmaus. Jesus wasn't talking with them about things that he had done just a few days before, just a few weeks before, a few months before. He was opening the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And three times it's mentioned there how he opened to them the scriptures. That is what that's the main attraction for us. It's all grounded there in the scriptures. And there's a really, really neat insight, like Brother Lonnie mentioned, that Brother Paul just brought out there in, from Matthew 25. We've heard it taught how Brother Branham showed the six seals, first six seals there in Matthew 24. But then in Matthew 25, Jesus breaks into three parables as he shares the truth that we see part of the seventh seal. And the first one was the wise and the foolish virgin. Then the next one we see a ruler is giving unto his several servants different talents. And then he leaves and goes to another country for a very, very long time. And then he comes back to see what they did with what they were given. And you can see that the parallel here, God has given us something. He's delaying his coming. What are we doing with what God has given us? And then the last parable, which I'd read Leo Tolstoy tells about this story of a blacksmith somewhere just blacksmithing away. And then this poor beggar man just comes along, and the blacksmith looks at him. Nobody else in the city had served the beggar, but the blacksmith invites him to come in, and he serves him some food, and then just kind of turns around, and the beggar has just kind of disappeared. And then the theme of the story is, when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. But the story is way too artificial, because the story that Jesus tells is there at the judgment. They say, "Lord, when did we do something for you?" It says, "When you did unto the least of these, my brethren," when we wash each other's feet, we're doing it unto him. Because we're Christ in human form. We're Christ in bride form, like Brother Jeff said. So just those three parables, it brought it all together. They're right again. It was just such a wonderful, wonderful revelation then. Brother Lonnie brought something out then also. As we see that we're Christ in bride form, we have a choice. Are we going to live life as mere mortals? We're just going to go to work and I'll clock in, work for 8 hours, clock back out? Or are we going to choose to be what we've been called to be, and that's Christ manifested in flesh again? And when we realize that, we can see, why do prayer requests come to us? Well, for the same reason that people came to Jesus with their needs, because they believed that Jesus could touch them. They see the same thing. They're not bringing prayer requests to members of the assembly for no reason at all. They're doing what they always did. They're bringing the sick to Christ. And we can see the same thing happening today. So what are we going to live? How are we going to live? And you can see, look at the really global perspective of history. You can see the different kingdoms. You've got Babylon, you've got Medo-Persia, you've got Greece, and you've got Rome, and that's the worldly kingdom that have extended up to the present day. And we can choose to live in one of those kingdoms, or we can choose to live in that kingdom that was cut out of a mountain without hands. It's going to smite those other ones. So the choice is, are we going to be one of the smiting ones, or are we going to be one of the smitten ones? We get to choose which kingdom we're going to be living in. It's just really, really wonderful, if you couldn't tell. It was quite a blessing. But one of the biggest blessings for me was on Saturday evening, and that's when Brother Tim Dodd preached about progressive revelation. But before I tell about this testimony, I want to take it back maybe a couple years before, because I had a question. I'd come back from a missions trip where I'd learned a lot about prayer. We had prayer meetings there in Lithuania and been really blessed by them. As we came back and started having prayer meetings here, I just kind of started studying about revival, because we can see a specific promise somewhere, we can start praying for it. And I'd always kind of heard that we've been promised a short, quick work is going to happen before the Lord comes back. So just kind of wondering, so what's this short, quick work? And this kind of, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? As I kept reading a little bit more and reading a little bit more, I started seeing I might be asking the wrong question, because the work isn't not just going to happen, it's when did the work start? Because God has already started doing something. So as you just kind of start, as I was kind of reading those quotes, it's kind of started seeing that the message is much more than the sum of its parts when you read it from beginning to end in a chronological order, because you can start seeing that Brother Branham's looking for something to come ahead. He's looking for it to come ahead, and then as it's getting closer to that, he starts talking, something's just about getting ready to happen. It's going to be happening real soon, and then a little bit later, he starts talking about something that has happened. And so I saw, boy, I'm asking the wrong question. If I'm waiting for some revival to come, I just might miss something. But Brother Dodd was talking about rapturing faith, and what I was looking about was, what is this latter rain? And he brought out one thing that throughout the church ages, we know that, and Brother Lonnie brought it out too that same day, spiritual forces have been at work. They got the four horse riders. Those are forces on one side that the Antichrist is using. But whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. And there in under the first seal, God raised up a lion. And if you were going to overcome that first horse rider, you had to be under that lion anointing. Otherwise, you wouldn't overcome it. Likewise, under the red rider, he had to be under that ox anointing, which is the beast of burden, suffering, tribulation. You had to be under that anointing in order to overcome. If you weren't, you wouldn't be able to overcome. Then during the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church was spreading all kinds of false doctrine around the Word about the Word about God, God anointed His servants with a man anointing, and in order to declare the truth among so many lies, God blessed the intellect of man. But when he opened the seals, another anointing started. And there's a challenge in our day, and that's to ascend above the coming destruction. And we won't be able to ascend with the anointing of a man. We have to be under the anointing that God has sent for this time, and only the eagle anointing can rise above coming destruction. And we can just kind of see, as I was hearing it, what is this latter rain? And he was just kind of showing how Brother Branham tied in different things with rapturing faith. In 1953, he said, talked about, and I believe that the age has come now, the miraculous, the phenomenal, the baptism of the Spirit, power, signs, wonders, this great pouring out of God's Spirit in the last days, that's the thing that'll bring faith to the people. It'll take a rapturing faith that'll take the church into glory. So here in 1953, he's looking at the signs and the wonders and the miracles as being what'll take the church into glory. But that's not what brought the church into glory, because that wasn't sufficient. So you can see at one point, that's what he thought, but he kept walking with God. And later in the first seal, he says, "And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days to get the bride together for rapturing faith." That's the challenge of our age. We need a rapture to overcome the destruction. Because what we have right now, we wouldn't be able to do it, he says. There's something we have to step farther. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in the moment and to be swept out of this earth. And he ties it here to seven thunders. And he says rapturing faith, and that later on in that message will come there with the seven thunders. And all a thunder is the voice of God. When John is baptizing Jesus, the crowd around Jesus just said, it thundered. God spoke, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. And the crowd didn't hear that, but God spoke it. All they heard what was a thunder. That's what a thunder is. But Brother Branham says later on in that in the first seal, but I imagine when the mysteries begin to come forth, God said, hold it back now, wait a minute. Basically, don't write it here, John. I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. Just let it go. But I'll reveal it in that day when it has need to be done. And that's this day. He says, they never uttered for nothing. And as I was listening, you can kind of see how important that is. The thunders didn't utter for nothing. They uttered for a distinct purpose. And one of the purposes is for us to listen to them. They didn't utter for nothing. But then in the latter rain, the former rain is just a teaching rain. It wasn't the signs and the miracle. The former rain was not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there at Pentecost, 1906. It was the teaching of the Word. But later came a harvest rain, and that was what brought rapturing faith. At the end of that message, it was pretty hardcore doctrine. I mean, it's just going through what the Word has to say. But it was incredibly exciting. At the end, there was just such a sweet atmosphere, such a sweet spirit. And I was just overwhelmed with a great sense of gratitude. And there was a nice spirit of prayer there. And my prayer there was just several fold. One, I just praying, Lord, I want to have the heart of a child. Because if you look at Malachi 4, talking about the day of the Lord that's coming, it's a judgment, especially upon the proud and lofty ones. And I don't want to be that way. I want to have the heart of a child. That'll be low enough to accept whatever God says. That'll thrill at the sound of God's voice. That's what I want. I want the heart of a child. So simple. I'll just be so glad to see however God comes. I'll be thrilled however God comes. And I'll just be so glad to hear His voice. Another part of that, my prayer was, Lord, You've supplied everything I need for a rapture. And my prayer, Lord, is help me to esteem Your Word more than my necessary food. Because it's so important. I want, Lord, just give me such a greater appreciation, such a greater hunger. Because, you know, so many times there's a great competition for our attention. There's a great competition among our reading material, our viewing material, our listening material, our hobbies. There's lots of competition. But, Lord, I want to esteem Your Word so much more than my necessary food. And that's really nicely said there in Job. Necessary food has the idea, I work to have my necessary food. Lord, when I work, I don't want to just be clocking in and clocking out. I want to be esteeming Your Word more than my work as I'm going to work, Lord. I want to be meditating upon You, looking for those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I want to go, Lord, just prepared, finely attuned to look for those who might not be aware yet that there's something inside of them longing for redemption. But that was just my prayer. And like I said, there was such a sense of thankfulness at what God has done. And we just sang, give thanks with a grateful heart and could sing it with such a reality because God has done so much. We've got such great destruction coming, but He's done so much to provide a way for us to go above that. And the very last message that we heard was on David's sons. And Chad and I, we'd kind of thought that the service had ended Sunday morning and we could leave Sunday afternoon and head on back up to Lima. But we just kind of realized that, well, there's a questions and answers for the bond in the afternoon and then there's an evening service. And like, man, you know, we could get the DVD, but we'd have to wait probably a good week or so. So being the young guy that I am, and Chad's not too old to be unable to do it, we just kind of, well, you know, we'll just kind of drive all night long. We'll go ahead and go to the evening service because we want to get it right when it's fresh there and you can be in the atmosphere. And it was definitely worth it. We had to drive real fast. I feel like your car was running like an ostrich there down the highway to try to get back home. But what Brother Dodd brought was talking about David's sons, and four of them are mentioned pretty clearly there, and he brought that they were heirs of another man's victories, in much the same way that we find ourselves to be heirs of blessings that others have earned before us, especially we who are raised in the message. I mean, we didn't do anything to be in a good church, to be where God's revealing His truth. We didn't do anything. We were just born here. We've just kind of been raised here, and kind of like David's sons. And he said, Amnon, he's the one who got to lusting after his half-sister Tamar. And Brother Dodd has kind of identified Amnon as a lover of pleasure. He didn't he didn't even leave his house to pursue this woman he loved. He just kind of stayed there, and he was selfish. He pursued that which he wanted to do. And Absalom, he was really good at finding other people's faults. He could find his father's faults real well, the kingdom's faults really well, and spread them around the king's. Well, if I were a king, things would be a lot different. Adonijah, he was a pretender. He tried to set himself up as king before David could anoint Solomon king. So he was spent his time advancing self. But then Solomon, he was the one who was ordained to be king. And we can just look at 1 Chronicles 28, 9 and 10, and then we'll turn it over to Chad. 1 Chronicles 28 and verses 9 and 10. These other sons had desires, but only one of them did David speak like he spoke to Solomon here. Verse 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." We can just put ourselves in Solomon's place, because Solomon was raised in a believing house. And we can put our name in here. "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you." That promise applies to us too tonight. If we seek God, he will be found of him. But seeking isn't the kind of seeking that Amnon was raised to do. Amnon sought Tamar, but he never left his house. We seek God. It's going to take a little bit of determination. It'll take some resolve. It's not just put your prayer in the pop machine and the coat comes out momentarily. But seeking God, it takes time. But if we seek him, he will be found of us. But if we forsake him, he'll cast us off forever. Then verse 10, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee." He chose Solomon to build a house for the sanctuary. What has he chosen us to do? He's chosen us to do something. And be strong and do it. God told Solomon, be strong what God's chosen you to do, and don't waste time, do it. You can see Amnon, he gave his strength to pleasure. Absalom gave strength to finding other people's faults. Adonijah gave strength to pursuing his own ambitions. And Solomon, unfortunately, at the end of his life, ended up giving his strength to women. But our challenge is, Lord, help me to give my strength to you. Because you've given us something to do, and you told us to be strong and do it. Because it's God who wants to do it through us. So it was just a really, really wonderful blessing, and I'm sure that the DVDs will be appearing in the church library before too long, and I can unreservedly recommend careful listening to them. Well, God bless you. Let's hear what Chad has to testify now.
Well, God bless you. As you've heard from Brother Rapp, we had an absolutely wonderful time. And I just learned to appreciate so much what God has given us here. I mean, there were so many people we came in contact with, because there was people from all over the country and Canada and a few other places. And I can't remember how many times, maybe 3, 4, 5 times people come up to me and they would ask me who I was, and I tell them that I went to BCF, and they said, "Oh, we listen to your services all the time. You guys are so blessed with wonderful ministry, and you have a wonderful pastor." And time again, they would say the same things about our church from listening to the services. And I thought, you know, for me, this is the only message church I've ever been to outside of those in Africa. And so sometimes I'm not really aware of a broad spectrum. I have a very narrow vision because I've never been out. And I get to these meetings and people say, oh, you're so fortunate. Oh, you're so blessed. And I really got a good appreciation for what we have here. And I'm very grateful for what God has given us. Even when Brother Lonnie was up and he was ministering Saturday morning, he was going over some slides that he had done here, and it was a different sequence. It was fresh and it was good, and we were enjoying it. But we had heard a lot of these things taught before. But you'd look over to somebody next to you or somebody behind you, and they were so inspired by the things Brother Lonnie were bringing. And for us, we've heard these things before. And I thought, this is the first time they've been presented with this material this way. I thought, man, we're spoiled. Very, very spoiled. So one of the things I took away from this is a great appreciation for what we have here. I just wanted to convey that. If anybody didn't already know, we're blessed, very blessed. Another thing I came away with, that when I come home, I'm just so excited to serve God. In the fullness of the revelation of the Word, I'm so happy that He has chosen me to participate in His plan. I'm just so lucky to be here, to be standing here, to be looking at you who I love with all my heart. And that's one thing I gained an appreciation for the believers. I love you all so much. And one thing that, if anything I can do tonight, I want to erase the concept that doctrine is boring. Because we went down to these services and it was going to be doctrinal teaching. And I didn't even really know what to expect. And I'd never been to a set of services that was just going to be founded on the doctrines alone. And I didn't know if it would be like seminars. I didn't know what to expect. But boy, was I excited. It was some of the most wonderful things I've ever heard in my life. And I was wondering, so what about doctrine? What's the so what of doctrine? Why is it so important? Why does it matter so much? Why is everybody always stressing doctrine? And it could be a question of so what. So I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and read just one scripture there real quick. 2 Timothy 3:16. Very familiar verse, but I just want to look at it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it's profitable for all these things. For doctrine, for reproof, that's for conviction, convicting you of your sins, bringing you to Christ. For correction. Correct, when you've done wrong, this is wrong. The Word says this is wrong, I ought not to do this. For instruction in righteousness, you have the correction, this is wrong, instruction in righteousness, this is right. But you also have doctrine. So we have reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. But what is doctrine? And doctrine is what those other three things are not. Doctrine is teaching the precepts and principles of God. Doctrine, what I come to find out, the so what question of doctrine is the story of me. That's what makes doctrine so exciting. It's not boring. Understanding the precepts and principles of God, all I'm doing is when I learn about the Father, I'm learning about myself. And so that's why I was so excited. That's why I was shouting and yelling amen and hallelujah and many times, praise God, that's so good. And the man's just up there and he's just teaching. He's just giving the Word. And he's showing us in the message. And he's tying the two together and he's lacing them so perfectly. And what I'm seeing is God's great plan to redeem me. Amen. I'm learning about my Father. I'm learning about my brothers and sisters. And I'm learning about myself. And how can that not be exciting? If doctrine doesn't excite you based on those, you're not going to get excited about anything. I mean, these guys could have jumped around and ran laps around the building, but just standing there and laying the Word out so it could so easily be seen and understood, that was exciting. I came away from there knowing myself better and knowing all of you better. Brother Paul LaFontaine, the first night, he preached a message called What is the Message? And I left there with a whole different perspective on the message. Before, the message to me was, well, the things Brother Branham brought, the things he spoke about, that's the message. 1,100 some odd sermons, that's the message. Well, that's included in the message, but that's not the whole of the message. He had a few quotes here he put together real fast, just little excerpts. Brother Branham saying, That same Jesus Christ is here. He is the messenger, and He is the messenger here to identify His message. I'm not the messenger. He is the messenger, and this is the message. In another place He said, and the message is Christ. He is the Word. So the message is Christ. And He said, later on in another message, He said, that's the message. Come into Christ. And so He went and tied the two together. He put a message equal sign Christ. The anointed Word. The message is the anointed Word. But then He went down and He explained some things a little bit later that got me even more excited, if that wasn't exciting enough already. He began to tell me about my place in the message. And a quote He has in His notes here, in God's provided place of worship. He said, the Son of Man ministry of Jesus Christ Himself, the church will come through justification through Luther, through sanctification through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Pentecostals, and grow right on into the perfection of the Son of Man. That when husband and wife will be the self-same person. God will be so manifested into His bride, His church, till they'll both be the same. They are one. You know? So if you can take message equal sign Christ, then we know that Christ is in the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. All that God was, He poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, He poured into His church. So if Christ and the bride are going to be one, the self-same person, then the bride is the message. Amen. The manifestation of the message today is the bride. Amen. So that's when I really got excited. It changed my whole perspective on what the message is. The message is so much bigger than what I thought it was. The message isn't just one man speaking. The message really is the story of redemption. And I play a part in that by the grace of God. So I was sitting here under these doctrinal teachings and I was getting so inspired and so excited. And I'm not particularly loud in service with amens and support. I'm not just particularly that way. But down there I was just so excited and so inspired. And I didn't realize how much I was calling out until a brother that was sitting behind me later, he said, brother, I sure appreciate the way you react to the Word. He goes, I love those amens and hallelujahs. And that's when I first realized how excited I really was. It just something bubbling up from the inside, just spilling out. And it was almost uncontrollable. So I thank God for those times. Brother Branham said, or when he talks about I think it's the third seal, when the order's given out, hurt not the oil and the wine. He said the wine is the stimulation of the revelation. And boy, I was stimulated. I was a little drunk on that wine. But I was just seeing the Word so clear. It was so obvious. There was no doubts. There was no questions in that atmosphere when the anointing was coming from the pulpit and the man was preaching the Word of God and he was lacing it all together. Doubts were in the far back of my mind. Doubts weren't there at the surface. And I was just so excited to see it so clearly. And the next day, Brother Lonnie took the morning service. And it was so exciting to see someone be able to sit there and just quote through quote with the graphics Brother Lonnie goes through and just see it so clearly explained. So simple. And it's just wonderful, and I just really appreciate Brother Lonnie even more than I already did. And then that evening, Jason Watkins preached on the serpent seed. And this was really good for me, because Jason gave a little testimony before. Brother Barry was giving Jason a hard time, because he had sent emails out to the ministers and phoned them and said, give me your material. I'm putting together a booklet. And this is the booklet that he put together, with all the notes of the ministers. And in the back, there was the DVDs of the services. And it's a wonderful resource. But he said I would get 10 pages, 15 pages, 20 pages, 40 pages, all these ministers sending in. He said, and it took forever for Jason to get me his. And I waited and waited, and I called back. He said, yeah, it's coming. So finally, I got an email, and he said it was one page. And the one page in here is just a few lines with some scripture references. It's not very much. And on the way down there, Rap and I were talking. It might have even been to one of the services before that, or on the way down. Rap and I were talking and just discussing how God uses individuals so differently. And me and Rap and I were comparing ourselves and how different we are. And how, I call him the professor. and how he's a professor. I mean, just the way I see Rap. But, and then how, when I would try to write out notes, I would show up with 7 pages of notes, and I'd feel so tied down and tied up and confused. I'd feel very, very confused when I tried to look at my notes. But Rap, boy, he puts together notes, and I like his notes. I like looking at his notes, and they're just really nice notes. But my notes are horrible, and I get confused when I try to use notes. And so it was really a problem for me. I didn't know how to act, what I should be doing. And so Jason Watkins gets up, and to defend himself, he tells the story that he had told Brother Barry there was more coming, he was bringing more. But he said, he goes, you know, he goes, I don't so much like to get all these notes together. He goes, I like just to really fill up, to study it out, and then just come and let God put it together any way he will. And that was so exciting for me, because I could relate to that. And I said, you know, it's okay to be that way. I don't have to show up with 22 pages of notes. If I did, it would be a 10-minute sermon. But if I show up with a paragraph, it might be 4 hours. I don't know. And then Jason, he started teaching on the serpent seed doctrine. And you think he was just talking about original sin and what happened in the garden? He was telling me my story. He was explaining to me why there had to be a virgin birth, why I have to be born again, you know, why there had to be a blood sacrifice. The doctrine answers the why question. And when they answer the why question, then the confusion goes away. And it's I believe this all along. And that's what I enjoyed so much when they were bringing these things forth. I found a witness in my heart to say amen to everything they were teaching. Because I found what they were doing is they were just saying something that I already believed. I just didn't realize I believed it. Until they came and they split back a little bit of that fog that God allowed the light to pierce into the soul. Then I know that. I didn't know it till now, but I know it. And I've probably known it for a really long time. Because it was predestinated for me to receive these things. So I really enjoyed that. And then Brother Tim Dodd went through Progressive Revelation, which was outstanding. And Rap already covered that. But the next day, Tim Dodd preached Sunday night service. And in that, he really issued out a challenge that spoke to me. I was challenged to press, to seek, to knock. We had spent the whole weekend really laying out that it's all here. It's all revealed and it's all available. The mystery of redemption, the mind of God to the Gentiles is revealed. Amen. It's all there. But I have to actively seek. I have to knock. I have to want it. And that's the challenge he gave me. He gave me a challenge to want it. To want it so bad that I'll get up early. To want it so bad that I'll be the last one in bed in my home. Just to want it so bad that I'll read at work during lunch times. I'll be a student of the message. I'll be a student of the Bible because it's all there. It's made available to us. Why wouldn't I go and take it? It's sitting there. And I just didn't want to waste any more time not seeking. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you seek me and I shall be found of you if you seek me with all your heart. And God wants to be found. I was also challenged to eat the book. You know, he went through Revelations chapter 10. And he talked about Revelations chapter 10, 1 through 7. You have the seventh angel and you have the mighty angel and you have all this taking place. But then verse 8 through 11, he says, the seventh angel is not there. He says, then John takes the book. John's a type of the bride. Takes the book from the mighty angel. And the mighty angel tells him, and the mighty angel was Christ. And the mighty angel tells him to eat the book. But it didn't stop there. He said, in your mouth it'll be sweet as honey, but in your belly it'll be bitter. He said, easy to receive, but it's hard to live. But he said, it didn't stop there. He said, and thou must prophesy again. Who? John? No, the bride. And that's in the absence of the seventh angel. So I saw that there's a challenge extended to the bride of Jesus Christ. We must prophesy again to tongues and nations and peoples. And oh, I just, at the end, he called us up. He said he wanted young men who were willing to take the challenge, commit themselves to God, and to be a seeker of God. And I just took that challenge instantly. Because after seeing that, I want to eat the book. But I don't just want to feast on it. I don't want to experience the sweet in my mouth and the bitter in my belly. I want to prophesy again. I want to be sharing the message. I want to be telling those I work with, my loved ones. I just want to tell everybody. Whether they receive it or not is not up to me. It's not how good I present it. And it's not how I can present it just like Brother Jason, or I can present it just like Brother Tim or Brother Lonnie. It's just saying what's on my heart and letting God take care of the rest. But I don't want to be found guilty for not speaking. I was called to actively participate in the plan of God. I felt a challenge to participate in the body of Jesus Christ. You know, Ephesians 4 tells us that we're a body. And he says, in every joint supplieth. And I don't want to just be in the body. I just want to come to church and fellowship with the body. But I want to be a joint that supplieth to the rest of the body. I want to be plugged in. And I want to be meeting the needs of those around me. I want to be sharing. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a joint that supplieth. I don't want to be one of those joints that's sucking life from the rest of the body. But I want to be one that's supplying life to the rest of the body. For the edifying of the body. And God often will speak to me in word pictures. And I got a real good word picture after this message, after this challenge. And I just saw, as it was, a great theater. And blackness all through the theater, but light on the stage. And on the stage is the body of Jesus Christ, the bride. Amen. And they're acting out the final scenes of the final act of the drama of redemption. Yes, you know, we're right here, almost at the closing of the curtains. And then everything will go into blackness. The lights will dim and the curtain will close. But I have an opportunity to take part in this great drama. Amen. God has called me out and selected me. He has a special casting crew. He casted me to play a role on this stage. And the bride is in the light. Everything else is darkness. The light is only on the bride, and we're walking in the light. But you know, I can, through the permissive will of God, keep my lips closed. And when it comes time to me, I cannot speak. Or I have a choice to speak the lines He's given me to speak. To speak what's in the message, to speak what's in the Bible, to speak what He's put in my heart. Or I can believe what the corrupter of the script has told me with doubts and false impersonations and false interpretations. But I choose not to believe that anymore. I choose to take the script as it was given to me and as it was revealed to me through a prophet, and I choose to speak it. And Brother Tim talked about in Revelations chapter 21 and 22, he said, in Revelations 21, he said, you have the angel speaking unto John and showing him all kinds of things. And then later, John goes to worship the angel. And we've been taught this here many times, so we won't get into it. But he says, don't worship me, for I'm one of your brethren, one of the servants, the prophets. He says, I'm a prophet. And we know that that was a type of Brother Branham revealing to the bride the message, the things of God. So we know that's true. But he says, then you go on down through the text, and when you get home, read chapter 22. It's very good. Because all of a sudden, you have the prophet speaking. Actually, let's just turn there, if you don't mind. Turn to Revelation 22 really quickly. Let's start at verse 8. Revelation 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. So he identifies himself. He's a prophet. And he won't let John worship him. And then he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is just, let him be unjust still. Who's speaking? The prophet. He just identified himself. He says, worship me not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. So he just identified himself, and he goes on giving him more instructions. And he goes on through verse 11. The unjust shall be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Is that red in your Bible? Are those red letters? When did we have a change of scene when the prophet leaves and Jesus steps in? We don't see that in this scene, do we? The prophet's speaking, and he's just continually to speak, and all of a sudden we have words in red. And then you go all the way down to verse 16. I, Jesus, he goes to identify himself. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you those things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So now we know it was Jesus speaking through the prophet, correct? And we know that's true in our day. We know it was thus saith the Lord. It was Christ speaking through that vessel. But then the very next verse, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now there's a change of scene. Now Jesus was speaking through the prophet. Now the bride's speaking. Amen. And I see that so clearly that now it's the bride speaking. Amen. She's living the life. She's sharing it with others. She's speaking the word. She's reading the right script and she's saying her lines on cue. And I want to be part of that bride who is now speaking. Amen. And that was the challenge that I received there Sunday night. It was worth staying late. It was worth driving through the night. I mean, it was worth getting home at 5:30 in the morning, even though Rap had to be at work at 8. I mean, it was worth those things. That to me is more valuable than I can explain. I can't put value on the things that we heard and the challenge which I received and the inspiration that I got to press harder than I've ever pressed before, to live on a higher level than I've ever lived before, and to feast on the Word of God. God bless you. I'll turn it over to Brother Lonnie.
I'd say Brother Barry's convention, gathering, accomplished what he wanted, the next step. And there was many of the young men there that took a next step as they went on. And they've all referred to Brother Paul LaFontaine's first night. And he brought out something that, as a minister of the word, I should have caught years ago. But I didn't catch it. And so I just want to share it with you. So his theme was, like they already said, what is the message? And that Christ is here, really, is the message. And Brother Branham declares that over and over and over and over. And if we don't understand the Godhead, you'll automatically think of Jesus of Nazareth. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Christ, the Logos, the Word. That's because long before Jesus of Nazareth was on the scene, Christ was already there. Now, one of the secrets that Brother Branham unveiled is this term in morpha. And we that work with computers are familiar with the term morphing. You take something and change its form. And that's where most of the theologians have missed it, in that God has appeared in many forms, but it's still God, whether showing in a fullness or a measure. So the in morpha thing becomes critical. So Christ is here. Now, here's some scriptures. Read with me. Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was... I stopped right there on purpose. And then Mark 16:12, after that he appeared in another form on the road to Emmaus unto two of them in the likeness of men. And then when we look up the word morpha, it says through the idea of adjusted parts. If you think of moving things around on a computer, it's easy to figure out. So, or form. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision, the external appearance. Now, let's continue on a little bit with the thought. So his appearing. Colossians 3:3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And this I had missed the meaning of this completely, and I have an idea some of you might have too. So his appearing, but we'll keep reading. He says, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So all these are the terms appearing, which is phaneroo, the word. But the phaneroo has a broader meaning that I had ever caught before. These meanings right here that we're looking at were the meanings I had looked at. And the next ones I'm going to bring up are the ones that expand the thought, and I'd never taken the time to read those, and they're all in the same Strong's Concordance. So phaneroo means to make manifest, appear, manifest, show, be manifested, show oneself, manifestly declare, manifest forth. So therefore, this appearing of Christ manifests Christ. But let's continue on with the understanding. To make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. To manifest, whether by words or deeds or any other way. To make actual and visible, realized, to make known by teaching, to become manifest, be made known of a person, exposed to view, make manifest, to show oneself, appear, to become known, to be plainly recognized, thoroughly understood, who and what one is. Amen. So now let's take a look at it again. Colossians 3:3, where we read, "For you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, become known, made manifest, realized." Are we together so far? "Then you also shall appear thoroughly understood, be exposed to view with him in glory."
Amen.
This whole message is to tell the bride who she is.
Amen.
And so he has appeared, we know that, but we have appeared also. The scripture and the message has declared him in order to declare us.
Amen.
So it's this man-wife principle, and I can see now why we had family camps, man and wife, parent, children, why our pastor so often gets on man-wife compared to Christ in the church, because when one is appearing, the other one is appearing. When one is being made known, the other one is being made known, and the oneness of the two is what the declaration is all about.
Amen.
And so therefore, when we have a natural reflection in a marriage and the oneness isn't there, it's totally obscuring what God is trying to manifest through the bride in the Word in this day. And that's that manifestation. "Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This is God's great mystery of love expressed, that God and man become one." See, the whole thing is God and man one. God and man was one there. God and man is one here. See, and what is it? Being filled with his Spirit, having the preeminences, that was God's achievement. That's God's purpose to do that, that he might be in Christ and Christ in us and all of us together one. The Holy Spirit, the same thing that revealed it to Christ, reveals it here, the supernatural creative power. Oh my, he says. So that was the theme of the message there over and over, even whether they were talking about the seals or the thunders, didn't make any difference. It still all wove back to who is the Christ in this age, where here's he manifested. It's in Christ, the bride. And of course, the intellectual concept, we've had that for years and years and years, because the script message clearly says she is him. And so that concept is there. But as we come at it from different angles, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer, and more of it drops from here, the 18 inches, I guess they say, down to here. And it's a finding out who and what we are. And I long for the fullness of the revelation. And I'm just delighted to hear Rep and Chad, how much they got out of the services down there. It was just delightful. So, Jeff, I'm going to turn it back to you. If you're here, there he is. And God bless you, saints. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, hearing what they got out of it.
I have 5 kids, and they've all been raised in the appearing. They've been raised in the great manifestation. Those of you that are my age or older, you have children. And as Brother Lonnie said just a moment ago, We've been using the same terminology for years. And what I want every one of you to do, young and old, is to be sure that you're in the Word so that those terms don't become cliches. They don't become words. Or worse, they don't become sterile theology, boring theology. But that they become life in your life, to where the Christ can have the preeminence in your life. It must go beyond, I've heard that before, to Revelation. You're going to hear it over and over and over. Jesus' themes, while he was the coming of the Lord, he repeated to his disciples over and over. So much so that they could quote him, but they didn't understand him until they rode to Emmaus. So for 33 and a half years, Jesus went on in his ministry. From the last 3.5 years of his ministry, he was teaching feverishly the Word of God and making it as clear as possible. First pull, he laid down. Second pull, he laid down. Brother Brown said, you have to lay down the first to pick up the second. You have to lay down the second to pick up the third. Because if you continue to manifest the first and the second pull while trying to manifest the third, the gifts of the Spirit actually become a distraction. They actually get in the way of the revealing of the Word. So the Lord says, no, I'm going to de-emphasize Pentecost to emphasize the Word. And so then the Word becomes the, which is ultimately God's plan, the Word becomes the attraction. Because God wants you to fall in love, be one with the Word of God. We thank God for the signs and wonders, and we'll continue to have that. But it is the grace of God, the plan of God, the intelligence of God, the mind of God to take us away from a Son of Man ministry to reintroduce us to the Son of Man ministry. Which that's what we're seeing now is the union of Jesus Christ and his bride come together. The Adam and the Eve that was our prototype in Genesis, we're seeing now again repeated in this day. So you'll hear the ministry. Everything that Brother Chad and Brother Rapp said, I would say most everything they said, you already heard. Can you say amen? But when you sit in a service for 5 days and get concentrated word, those same words you hear become a revelation. It takes on a deeper meaning. And that's why it is so important for you not to look at the message as cliches, not to look at it as just 1,100 messages, as Brother Chad said, but to hear with new hearing. I've been serving God for 33 years by his grace, 26 years pastoring, and the message today is more exciting than it's ever been. It is not fresh, dull and old, it's fresh and it's alive. And so it's so easy to hear the terminology, say, I know that, when actually I would really strongly suggest that you don't do that. I would say, Lord, let me have a brand new set of ears every single time I go to this door. Let me be as if it's the first time I've heard your word. Brother Chad went away saying, you know what? The only church I've known is this message church. But he comes back with a deeper appreciation. It's because when you get when you go to a place and you hear the same things that the brothers are preaching in Canada, brothers are preaching in Africa, you hear the same things that those brothers are preaching have been, it's being preached here, then it's not mere coincidence. It's the Holy Spirit teaching the bride of Jesus Christ around the world. I don't get on the websites and listen to Donnie, then listen to Brother Ed, and then preach my sermons. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on the internet from Brother Donnie or Brother Ed. Never. Because I'm called to get in the Word of God myself. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach what Brother Donnie and Brother Ed and the other ministers are preaching, because they're getting it from their head. In fact, if I was preaching something different than what the ministry around the world is preaching, I would question my preaching. And so I want there to be similarity. I want there to be continuity. I want there to be a sense of familiarity, so that no matter where you go, no matter what church you go to, you can say, that's the Word of God I've been hearing at home. So I would come to church. I was thinking about having all my 5 kids stand up here and you seeing each one of them, to maybe perhaps allow you to look into your own life. Young man, maybe you're 18, maybe you're 23, 4 or 5, maybe you're married with a couple kids, been raised in it all your life. This is all you've known. I would ask God for a brand new set of ears. You've heard me say it over and over. This is just as important. What this life right now, this world, 2008, where you're living right now, is just as important as His first coming. Just as eventful. Just as biblically exciting as His first coming. This is His second coming. But He's chosen to do it just the way He had planned to do it. They were supposed to multiply and replenish. Adam and Eve. God came in Adam, but then He comes in Eve form. That's what He's doing right now. And so I believe that it's important. I like what Brother Chad said there just a moment ago. I'm going to tell people whether they'll receive it or not. Because I've got my commission. Prophesy again. So whether they're going to receive it or not, I pray they do receive it. But whether they do or don't, that's not the issue. Listen to me. I'm not going to let the culture, the world, the devil, churchianity, and religion shut me up. My job is to prophesy again. Your job is to prophesy again. You just watch when you pray and seek God and say, Lord, I'm available. When you put your 2 feet on the ground after you get out of bed, say, Lord, I'm in your service. It's not just like Brother Chad said, Brother Rapp said, punching a clock. We've got a job to do. You say, well, Brother Jeff, you know, we're gleaning. It takes just as much. That tractor has to cover just as much. That harvester has to cover just as much ground to glean as it does to harvest. So whether you're harvesting an entire field or gleaning that field, it doesn't matter. None of us are leaving until that last one comes in. And they're going to come in not by the manifestation of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Not by God immorphed in a prophet in this last day. But He's going to come immorphed in a bride. This last day's manifestation is going to quicken the elect. So then your hair does make a difference, sister. Your long dress does make a difference. Your clean cut appearance, brother, does make a difference. All those things that you might say are minor, grant you, but they make a big difference in the overall appearance of Jesus Christ, or the overall appearing or making known of Jesus in your body and in my body. I want to be the clearest conduit for Him. I don't want anything within myself obstructing the view of Jesus in me. I want them to see Jesus. Brother Branham said in Christ is a Mystery, how do we make converts to Christ? He says, not by rules or codes. That's not how he says, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ in you. So you bring people to the revelation of Jesus Christ in you, who you are in Jesus Christ and Christ in you. Take your Bible. Let's all stand. We'll close with this thought. Brother Lonnie just went on to further open the word phanaru to us, the making known, a greater revelation. But look at John 17, a chapter that I have been in about a year as we've been going through this redemption series. Brother Chad said, Brother Rapp said, the message of the hour is all about God and the plan of redemption. It is in the plan of redemption that it is through the plan of redemption that God reveals Himself. And the plan of redemption is how He reveals Himself. If Adam and Eve would have never, let me ask you a question. If Adam and Eve would have never fallen, would we know God's redemptive attributes? No. They had to fall, and it's through the fall that we know, it is through the fall and the redemption. Remember, God is not linear, God is a circle. It is through the fall and redemption that we understand God. So look at the one verse that Brother Lonnie referred to, the glory. And I want us to look at that. Verse 21, John 17, 21. That they all may be one. John 17, 21. Now, Brother Branham quoted it in Christ is the Mystery. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Okay? Well, we can all believe that Jesus was always in the Father, and the Father was always in Jesus, the Logos. We can see that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But it goes on to say that they also may be made one in us. So we are to enjoy the very same oneness that Jesus Christ and the Father enjoyed. Well, how did the Father and Jesus come to be one? How did that? Where did that fullness take place? On earth in a man. On earth, the full manifestation on earth in a man. Where's it going to take place today? On earth in a bride. Now, it's going to go on to make that clear. They also may be one in us that purpose, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Our oneness in the Father and in the Son, our oneness with one another, husbands and wife, brothers and sisters in Christ, there would be not one schism, one division, not one critical spirit, not one pointing of a finger if we truly knew who the other person was. There wouldn't be one judgmental attitude, not one impatient spirit, I wish they'd hurry up, get moving, change, do this, do that, if we'd all recognize who we really are. Brother Rapp said it, this is the conduit, this is the flesh that God is going to reveal himself through. This is his mask, with its shortcomings, with its faults, with its doubts and fears, you're the mask. Can you say amen? You're the mask that God has chosen today. And the glory, 22 is where I want to close. And the glory which thou gavest me. Okay, what kind of glory did God give Jesus? Full manifestation. God fully expressed himself in the flesh of Jesus. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, as that's a great mystery, Paul said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God, I pray that we will hear, every one of us, young and old, daughters of Zion that are maybe getting married in a couple years, going to be raising children, but may they not forget the word of God. Sons of God that will be getting married and raising children, but may they not forget that we are literally in the middle of the coming and the going of the church of the living God. Jesus Christ coming and his going in the bride of Jesus Christ. Where, how will he come? He will not come with observation, nor will they be able to say lo or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. God Almighty, it's a thrilling word that we have today. It's an exciting word that we have today. It's life-changing. And I pray that everyone will come with new ears, new hearts. And I pray for my young married men that they'll be the leaders, the guiders, the movers, the shakers, that they'll be the ones that will go forth in the forefront and get into the Word of God and pray and seek. That when they come to church, they'll come early and hear the Word of God and pray and seek your face. And as Brother Chad alluded to the Scriptures, we shall be found of you when we shall seek you with all of our heart. God, may we be diligent seekers. May we look to you like we've never looked before. May we recognize that this road to Emmaus experience, when the Scriptures are being unveiled and opened to us. I believe that Brother Rapp and Brother Chad, myself, all of us, the ministry, are emboldened in this last day to say, to declare to the bride of Jesus Christ clearly and boldly that we are the coming of the Lord in bride form. It's not us. We're just the mask. We're nobody. We're nobody. It's not me, Jesus said, that doeth the works. It's the Father that dwelleth in me. And God, we understand that. But you have chosen us. And may we, with gratitude, may we reflect you. May we honor you in our life, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our actions. Grant it, Father God. I pray for those that are listening on the internet that they too would take heed. They too also would get in the Word of God and hear with fresh understanding and with new ears. That you would open their hearts and their eyes. And I pray for my own children, all five of them, God, that having been raised in it, that they'll not take for granted what they hear at home, what they hear at church. Lord, when they hear the prophet's voice, that it's not just a voice. It's not just a man, but it's Christ. You're not feeding on the words of a man. You're feeding on the body word, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives to you. God, and we know that you're going to unveil yourself in the familiar, in the ordinary, in the everyday. So tomorrow, in the familiar and in the ordinary, we expect you to reveal yourself tomorrow. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Draw us near to yourself. Forgive us for our laziness, our lethargy. Lord, as Jesus said to the disciples, O fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have said. So God, help us not to be foolish. or dull of hearing or slow of heart. Help us to eat the book, not to read the book, eat the book. That was the tree that they should have been eating off out of the Garden of Eden. May we now eat from that tree, Christ, the living word. And may we prophesy again, Lord. Grant it, Father, we pray. We love you, Father. We thank you for this time tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Come soften my heart. Let's just sing that.
Soften my heart, O Lord, O Lord. Yes, just soften my heart. Hallelujah. And from all indifference,
that means you can take it or leave it. I don't want to do that, Lord. Set me apart.
Set me apart to feel your compassion, just to weep with your tears.
Amen.
Come soften my heart.
That's your prayer.
Oh, soften my heart. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Just soften my heart.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And from all in this, just set me apart. Feel your compassion to weep with your tears. Come soften my heart.
Sing it again now.
Yes, soften my heart. Oh, yes. Come soften my heart. And from all in
everything, Jesus.
That's my prayer. Hey.